Hallelujah. God bless you all. So nice to see you all here this morning. Thankful for this beautiful Sunday morning the Lord has given us, right? Thankful for what God is doing in our lives, in our church. Excited to know that as we draw closer to the new year, we bring conclusion to this one. We believe that God is doing new things in our lives, right? We are a people that believe that we're always in transition. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But there's always something new happening in our lives because God is always doing something new. The Bible says that He takes us from one level of glory to another level of glory, right? So that means there's always transition. There's always growth. There's always something new. And I wonder how many times we open our minds and our hearts to hear the new thing that God wants to do, to sense the new thing that God wants to do in our lives, to take us to the new level that He wants to take us into our lives. So today our sermon, our teaching is based on this thought, you know, God at work in us. And this is a teaching and a sermon that resonates deeply with me because I'm always reminded that God is always doing something new in us. So I'm going to invite you to stand one more time, open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. It's a popular verse here where we have taught off before and we have quoted many times and you have read many times. I hope that this teaching will resonate with you this morning as it resonates with me because it's a reminder to us that God is active in our lives. He's active in our lives. So there's this teaching called deism. So deism is a false teaching that believes that God created the world and then just kind of like let it go. Click, 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 boom, and just let it go and see what happens. And God is observing from heaven all that humanity is doing, right? Deism. But we don't believe that God kind of created to let go, but we believe that God created to abide. And that's why He abides in you and He abides in me and He's active in our lives. And this scripture reminds us of that. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. Our theme this morning is God at work in us. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it unto completion unto the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 6, being confident of this, be sure of this. Another version says, be persuaded of this, that He who began a good work in you, and that He there is God, will carry it on to completion unto the day of Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word this morning, Lord. We thank you for the teaching of your word. I pray, Lord, that it would resonate with us, that we will be reminded, Lord God, that you are taking us from one level of glory to another, that you are at work in our lives, oh Lord, that you're doing something new in us every single day, oh Lord, that this is not the finished product, but you are constantly renewing, constantly restoring, constantly lifting us up again, constantly sharpening and refining some things in our lives, oh Lord. I pray, God, that the teaching would resonate with us this morning to remind us, Lord, that you are very interested in the lives that we live. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. God at work in us. So as I've been saying, from the moment we give our hearts to the Lord, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And we know that the Holy Spirit works in us through a process. And that's why, as I said in our prayer, we're not the finished product. Right now, you and I, God is not done with us yet. He's still doing a work in us. And that work, we've called it here, we've taught on it, it's progressive sanctification, right? It's a popular term that reminds us that we are in a process in our Christian life and we are progressively growing more in holiness, in representing the presence of God, the image of God, the face of God, right? So progressive sanctification reminds us that from the moment we gave our heart to the Lord, there is a process that is happening within us. We also have been sanctified by position. In other words, because Jesus Christ now dwells in our hearts, we are now the saints of God, right? The Bible tells us that we have been justified by faith. We are now the saints of God, and we are in a position of sanctification. But there is also a process that is occurring within us each and every day, drawing us closer to God's will, drawing us closer to His way. And I love what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Hear these words. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Working out your salvation. For it is God at work in you, right? In you, so that His will be done in your life according to His good purpose. So God at work in us. Another good verse for us, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And we also want to thank God continually, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. God's work in us. God is at work in us through His word. What is God doing in us, right? He's reminding us to live out the life that He's called us to live. He's reminding us to be liberated from the things that have us bound. He's reminding us that His word is at work in us. His will is at work in us. His purpose is at work in us. And He's leading us according to what He would like to see in our lives. He's preparing us for all that He has called us for. And He's preparing us even for eternity, to hear the trumpet sound. See, God is at work in us. Now, I don't know if that in any way encourages you, but when I think about God at work in me, that encourages me. That reminds me that God sees something in me that is still not here. It's not, I haven't obtained it yet. We call it potential at many times. It's what God sees in us that we have not reached yet. And God says, I'm investing my spirit into your life so to help you go from one level to another level, to help you to achieve the very things I have put in your life for you to achieve. And he's working within us. He doesn't just kind of say, hey, you can do it all by yourself. But He says, I have sealed you with my spirit, and I'm trying to help you get to the very things that I have put in your life for you to achieve. Isn't that awesome? That God sees our potential. God sees what He's called us for. God sees His will in our lives. He sees it for today, and He sees it for tomorrow. And He's working out something in each and every one of us to prepare us for tomorrow, to get us ready for the thing that He's leading us to. And those things at times are trials and hardships. At times they're ministerial opportunities. At times it's just a new level of walking Him. But He knows the tomorrow, and He's at work in us. I love what the Apostle Paul writes, and I have used this scripture in other sermons, where it talks about the ministering spirit of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7, it talks to us about the ministering spirit of God, and that original word is diakonia, that we get our English word deacon, which means to serve. And he says the ministering spirit of God. And he's talking about each and every one of us have the ministering spirit of God. And that's in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, which opens the door for us to understand chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse 1. Let me read it to you. It says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry. Now, we will not understand this ministry without chapter 3. And chapter 3 tells us it's the ministering spirit of God. So he says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, the ministry spirit of God, we do not lose heart. We do not give up. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways, and we do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. So he's saying, because you have the ministering spirit of God, you do not lose heart. In fact, you renounce the way of the world. You renounce that. You make change. Why? Because the ministering spirit of God, the diakonia, the serving spirit of God that dwells within each and every one of us. And then if you continue to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, and we have this surpassing power. in jars of clay, reminding us that the ministering spirit of God will help us so we don't have to lose heart. And although we are weak and vulnerable, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, jars of clay, we have this power within us. It's the triune God. It's the divine God. It's the all-powerful God that's leading us through change. So I want to tell you that you can be exactly who God has called you to be, not by your own strength, but by the ministering spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that dwells in you and that dwells in me. We can achieve. We can be successful. We can be victorious Christians. We can overcome. Why? Because God has overcome and he dwells within each and every one of us. We could reach our potential. We could live the life that God has called us to live because he dwells within us. Now, we understand that there's a process, though. We can't get there from today to tomorrow. Can that frustrate some people sometimes? Because they want to be exactly who God called them to be today. And I admire that. But you know what? I'm in transition. I'm in the process. You're in the process. We're all in the process. And we need to understand that we're in a process. God deals with people this way. If you look at the life of Moses, I've talked about Moses on many occasions, 120 years old, 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the desert, 40 years leading the Israelites, right? When he is called, when the burden begins in his heart, it was his first 40 years. And that's why he killed the Egyptian, right? Because he had a desire to save his own people. But he wasn't ready yet. He would lead like a Pharaoh. He would lead like a strong man. Why? Because that's what he had seen from the Pharaoh who had led him for 40 years, and God was calling a pastor to lead the Israelites. So what? So God sends him to work for Jethro, his father-in-law, for 40 years, and there he learned the heart of a pastor, because God was getting him ready for the last 40 years of his life, where he would lead people. He would lead the Israelites, and God wanted him to lead them not like a Pharaoh, but like a pastor. So he had to take them out of Egypt for 40 years, put them under Jethro for 40 years, learn the heart of a pastor so that he can lead according to the will of God and the purpose of God for the next 40 years of his life. Do you see how God allows process in our lives? He allows it, and he allows hardships. He allows us to fail. He allows us to learn. He allows us to grow because he is dealing with us and teaching us. Same thing in the life of David. God anoints David. Samuel anoints David at a very young age, and it's not till decades later where he receives the crown. There was a process in his life. Last month, we talked about the life of Joseph. There was a process in his life, right? Started at his father's house, ended up in the cistern, ended up in Potiphar's house, ended up in jail before he got into the palace. Why? There was a process in his life. Even the disciples who walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, they were fishermen. They were broken down. They needed a process in their lives. And walking with Jesus for 3.5 years brought that into their lives to the very end. So they were ready to serve where God wanted them to serve. You see, God is at work in us. Doesn't that encourage you? It encourages me. It encouraged me to know even when I let God down, he says, well, you know what? Get up again because you're in a process. That's not your state. You're in a process. That's not your dwelling. You're in a process. I love that the psalmist said this. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in the straight path because of my enemies. I love that he was saying, show me the best way to be victorious. Show me the best way to win. Show me the best way, Lord God. I love that. I love that Isaiah says the Lord shows the process on how he deals with people. Isaiah says this, but now, O Lord, you are my father. We are the clay. You are the potter, and we are the work of your hands. Right? So God reminds us through the prophet Isaiah that he is at work in us. And at times he will break us and build us up again. And he will dig into our lives. Why? Because he's forming someone for his purpose and his will. And the church says, amen. So as we are in this life, I remind you, you're in a process. God is doing a work in your life. God is doing a work in my life, right? 3 points that I want to share with you this morning with regard to this introduction that we just shared to remind you that you're in this process, right? Three points. The first one is be confident that God is doing a work in you. Be confident of this. because there's some people that we're just kind of coming and going, and we just feel real religious, real routine-ish. But I want to encourage you to be confident that God is doing a good work in you. Be confident of this. Be assured. Be persuaded of this. That God is doing a work in you. He's doing a work in you, in your matrimony, in your children, in your grandchildren. He's doing a work in your life. It's very personal. It's not corporate. It's very personal. It's God and you. And he is doing a work from a personal perspective, though. You may ask, how can I be sure that God is doing a work in me? How can I be sure that God is doing a work in us? How can I nail that down? How can I be absolute? Because I come to church, I love the songs, I hear the teachings, but how can I be sure? A few things that will help us remind us that. Am I the same person that I was when I gave my heart to the Lord? Are you the same person? I hope that you're not the same person. You should not be the same person. There should have been some change in your life. Right? Am I the same person? If the answer is no, I'm not the same person, it's because God is at work in us. When you were in the world, you know, you were different. I was different when I was not walking good with God, right? I grew up in church, but I had my seasons where I wasn't doing the best that I could. And there was attributes in me that were clearly from the sinful nature, right? When we were in the world, we were dominated by the sinful nature. Galatians reminds us that there is a battle between the spirit and the flesh. And whichever one we empower, that's what rules in our life. And if we empower the spirit, we bear the spirit, the spiritual gifts of the spirit, the spiritual fruit of the spirit. But if we empower the sinful nature, then we bear the fruit of the nature, the fruit of the sinful nature. Galatians chapter 5 reminds us of that. When you were in the world, you were different, right? You were the type of person that no one can say nothing to you because you responded quickly. You dealt with road rage. No one here deals with road rage no more. That was when you were in the world, right? When you were in the world, if you had to hurt somebody for gain, you considered it, and at times you did it. When you were in the world, you lived carefree, no accountability. I am living for me. I did as I wanted. I do as I think is best, was regardless of what others say or do. Why? Because I live by my own nature, the sinful nature. When I live in the world, I live my way. So how can we be sure that God is doing a work in us? We're not those people no more. We don't live like that no more. There is a change. We are tempted at times to live that way, but that's not who we are anymore because God is at work in us. And the church says, I even encourage you to ask, are you the same person you were a year ago? You know, there should be a difference between us now and a year ago. You know, there's even things in my life that happen to me occasionally, and I'll go, oh my God, I'm so thankful that I'm here now and not 10 years ago. Because when I first started pastoring, I would have handled this totally different, and I would have flopped. Right? I learned some things, right? You've learned some things, and that's why you handle things a little bit different. I use the term often, hey, this is not a hill to die on, right? Sometimes, you know, I don't got to give all my energy and thought and emotion to this. I don't have to die on this hill. 10 years ago, I would be fighting on this hill, die on this hill. At what cost? Defending myself? Defending what I think is right? It has no value. No value. Right? And we're the same people we were a year ago. That's how we know that God is working in us. Right? How about this? Do you feel conviction when you know you did something wrong? Well, that's God at work in us. If I do something wrong and I feel no conviction, I'm in a bad place in life. If you do something wrong and you're like, hey, it is what it is. You're in a bad place in your life. You're in a bad place in your life, right? But because we feel conviction is a reminder to us that God is at work in us. It's a reminder to us that God is at work in us. You know, do we handle things the same way? Are we quick-tempered? You know, are we the type of people to raise our voice so quickly, right? We're changing. There's a response within us. And because of that, we can be sure that God is at work in us. There's a conviction in us. Man, I feel bad that I did that. I feel bad that I said that. I feel bad. And the more you look for God, the deeper the conviction is. Just a word of offense towards somebody, you know, Lord, if I could just go back so I don't have to feel this conviction. Now I got to make it right. And it draws us. Why? Because God is at work in us. And if you don't respond to that, you'll just deal with it over and over until you respond to it, right? Have you asked the Lord to help you make some changes? Well, that's a response then that God is at work in us, because when God is at work in us, we want to do better. Lord, I want to pray more. Lord, I want to be more faithful to this. I want to be more faithful in my givings. I want to do that. Why? Because I want to do better, because God is at work in us. When God is not at work in us, we're good where we are. There's this self-righteousness that reigns in our lives that says, hey, I'm good. You know, we're good because we did the good work. We're good because we did something nice, and we feel good with it, you know? Because they're self-righteous. Have you ever talked to anybody and you're trying to share the gospel and they're like, well, no, I'm a good person. I do that. I do this. There's a sense of self-righteousness that reigns, and it comes from the sinful nature. But when God is at work in us, there's always a desire to do better. There's always a desire to do more, because God is at work in us. And the church says, so if you answer these questions, man, from this thought, yes, you know, I want change. Yeah, I'm not the same person. Yeah, I do feel conviction. That's good. That's God at work in us. From a theological perspective, always remember that God did not save us just to set us off. He did not create us just to let us go. But he saved us to do his will. He saved us for purpose. He saved us to represent him. He saved us to be a soldier of the army of the gospel. He saved us for that. He saved us. He did not save us to abandon us, but he saved us to enter into a process of sanctification. He saved us so that we would have communion with him. He saved us so that we would serve him. So he's at work in us, and God saved us and prepared us and positioned us only to be successful and not to fail. Only to be successful and not to fail. Because God, what he does it good. And he's prepared us to be victorious like he is victorious. And he wants us to be victorious as well. So he saved us, and he's at work in us, not to fail, but to be victorious. I want to let you know and remind you that no matter where you are right now in your life, no matter what circumstance you're dealing with right now, you've been set up to win. You've been set up to be victorious, man. You've been set up. God has set you up to win, to be victorious. He has set you up for gain. He has set you up for success. You've been positioned to win, not to fail. And you have the ministering spirit of God that dwells within you, that gives you all that you need for success. And the church says, amen. Be confident that God is at work in you. Number two, be confident that God is doing a good work in you. Everything that God does, he does it good, right? When you look at creation, I love it. Creation, it just moves in such perfection, and the moon moves in such perfection, and we go around the earth in such perfection, and you look at we go around the sun in such perfection, and you look at the four seasons, and you know, we had the privilege of going to Puerto Rico a few months after Hurricane Maria, and you see the ground, you see the habitation begin to take care of itself again and begin to blossom again. Why? Because there is a creator that did everything perfect, right? When you look at the body and you think of all the systems, the circulatory system and the respiratory system, and you think of all how the body is created, how eyes adjust in the dark and in the light, and how it heals itself. When you think of all things, you have to say, man, God is an amazing creator, right? Everything that he does it so good. It's perfect. It boggles the mind, you know? It's amazing to us, right? When we look at the redemptive plan of humanity, it's amazing that before the earth was formed, the Bible teaches us that God already had separated Jesus for this. Before, the redemptive plan. And you look throughout the Old Testament, the redemptive plan is a beautiful plan. And here comes Jesus, and he's the redeemer of humanity, and he's the savior of our souls. It's a perfect redemptive plan. It's the only plan that can save humanity from total condemnation. You see, everything that God does, he does good. And what God is doing in your life and in my life, it's good. And the church says, amen. It's good. So I want to say, well, what does good look like? Okay, we know that it's good, that what God is doing in us. But what would good look like? few points. What would good look like? One, good looks like completely free from habitual sin. That's a good work in us. Completely free from habitual sin is a good work in us, that God is doing a good work in us to free us completely from habitual sin. Now, we all are going to deal with sin at different seasons of our life, different days of our life. The Bible says that the saints, the righteous, fall seven times and get up again. Who's the righteous? You and I are the righteous, right? We're righteous because Christ has justified us, redeemed us. He has made us righteous. The Bible says that the righteous fall seven times and get up again. It's the wicked that's lost in their sin. So because we are righteous doesn't mean that we're perfect. We will deal with sin occasionally, man. Oh, I shouldn't have said what I said. Oh, I shouldn't have reacted the way I reacted. Oh, I shouldn't have responded the way I responded. I shouldn't have thought the way I thought. I shouldn't have done the thing I did. It's part of us. Habitual sin, though, is to know that I'm going to do it, to know that it doesn't please God, and I'm going to do it anyway, and I'm going to do it again anyway, and I'm going to do it again anyway. Habitual sin, to know that my state is a state that doesn't please God, and even though it doesn't please God, I do it anyway. Habitual sin, to know that the state that I'm in is a state that rejects God's righteousness and God's will and God's way, but even though it rejects it, I do it anyway. See, the good work of God in our life says, I will not live in habitual sin. And the church says. Amen. The good work of God says, no, we're all going to fail. Carlos Medina, I'll let you down. Stick with me long enough and you're going to see my imperfections, my insecurities, my failures, my faults. I got to come to the cross and say, Lord, help me each day. And by his grace, I get up again. Right? So we're all going to fail. But habitual sin says, I know that I'm doing wrong and I'm going to do it anyway. A good work says, I'm completely free from habitual sin. And the church says, a good work says, I'm in peace with God. God's doing a good work in us. I'm in peace with God. What does that mean? It means that even though I'm going through hardships in life, I know that God is sovereign. I'm in peace with God. I'm in peace with the way that God is reigning in my life. And although he has allowed this hardship and allowed this trial and allowed this circumstance, I still will trust him. I'm in peace with God. I know that he rules. He's sovereign. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. He's faithful and good. And because of that, regardless of what I go through, I am in peace with God. Those who are not in peace with God blame God for their circumstances. Why would God do this? I'm a faithful tither. Why would God do this? I go to church. Why would God do this? I worship. So why would God do this? And we're not at peace with God. But those who are at peace with God say, you know, God, I don't understand the why, but I trust you anyway. And the church says, that's a good work in us. A good work in us is committed to serving the kingdom of God. That's a good work in us. Committed to serve. You know, not just drawing. But saying, I recognize that I have a place in the body of Christ. I recognize that God has gifted me. I recognize that God has put something in me to give back. And a good work says, well, not only would I submit to what God is doing in me, but a good work says, I'm going to also give back. And some people will say, but you know, I never get an opportunity in the church. Well, the church is not the only instrument that's going to allow you to give into the kingdom of God, right? Our surroundings, everywhere we are the kingdom of God. Whether we're in our neighborhoods, whether we're in our jobs, whether we're in our social settings, we are all part of what God wants to do in the setting. And that's why he's placed us in the community, that he's placed us, given us the neighbors that we have, given us the jobs that we have, right? Because there is where he wants to use us, as well as the church, where God has placed us. So a good work is what knowing that we're committed to serving him in his kingdom. And the church says, a good work is living in peace with one another. That's a good work. You ever talk to somebody and say, man, in Spanish, we'll say something like, ese yo no lo paso. I can't with that one. I can't. I just, you know. And there are times in our lives when we know people, right? And we go, you know what? Our characters just don't go well together. So I'm going to be over here, and they're going to be over here. And at times, that is okay. What would not be okay is when God calls us to serve together, and we say, no, I can't. Or when God calls us to serve their need, and we say, oh, no, I can't. when God is positioning us in a place where he wants us to serve along with them, yoke together. Because God yokes people together, right? Yokes us together, and then we say, no, I can't. Well, then we have to evaluate the good work in our life, because good work in our life means that peace with all people. You know, and I feel at times that we all get tempted with this, right? We all get tempted. If I could just choose, right? Oh, how life would be so much easier. But God wants to see the fruit of the Spirit pour through us. Love and kindness. Right? He wants to see the fruit of the Spirit just pour through us. Here, I'm going to give you the fruit of the Spirit. I love it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh, those are so hard, right? But that's the good work. And my heart, I don't care how many tongues you speak. I don't care how many great sermons you preach. I don't care how long you've been in the gospel. If the fruit of the Spirit is not pouring out from you, that means there's something wrong in your walk with God. Do you still love me? Yes. Amen. Right? Bearing the fruit of the Spirit, it's important. That's the good work. That's the good work. What good is it for us to preach 1,000 good sermons, but yet not show kindness to someone else? I preached a sermon about a year ago. Everyone matters. Everyone matters. The ones that we like and the ones that we don't like. The ones that can help us and the ones that cannot help us. Everyone matters. And the church says, you see, the good work in us is us willing to forgive ourselves as well and move on. That's the good work. So God is doing a good work in us. That means, okay, some people, they just can't get over it. They can't forgive themselves. I want to let you know that if God has forgiven you, you can forgive yourself. That's a good work. Get up. Lift your head up. I've had to look at young men, young women, old men, old women, and have to say, hey, get your head up and walk, understanding that God has done a good work in you. God has done a good work in you. He's doing a good work in you. When God does a good work in us, sometimes it will hurt. It's not easy to love. It's not easy to forgive. It's not easy always to be kind. It's not always easy to be gentle. It's not always easy to be patient. It hurts sometimes to do the thing that God calls us to do. It hurts sometimes to bear the good fruit. It hurts sometimes. It makes us uncomfortable because it comes against our own nature, and it makes us uncomfortable. We don't always understand why we have to do these things. And God is saying, because I'm doing a good work in you. And sometimes we don't even like it. I don't like it that I have to forgive someone. I don't like it that I have to say that I'm wrong. I don't like it that I have to have a hard conversation. I don't like it. But I do it because God is doing a good work in you, a good work in me. And the church says, so we're talking about God at work in us, right? In the beginning, our intro was just some verses reminding us that, yes, that God does a work in all of us. Our first point is that God is doing, be persuaded, sure, that God is doing a work in you. How do we know? Because we're not the same people we used to be. There's conviction, right? There's changing in our life. The good work is some of the things that I've mentioned to you already. Habitual sin and peace with God, peace with others, committed to serve, bearing the fruit of the Spirit. These things will hurt. They're uncomfortable. We don't always understand it. We may not like it. But God is at work in us. Our third point this morning is be confident that God will take you through the whole process. And I love that verse 6 finishes to the day of Christ Jesus, right? To the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. He will take you through the whole process. He's part of the process with us. We're always going to be in transition. No one will ever reach it until we get to heaven, and that's what we call ultimate sanctification, right? When we get to heaven, it's all done. But remember, we're always going to be in this process. And maybe you've been in the gospel all your life, and you're older in age. You're still in the process. Maybe you just got in a little while ago. You're in the process. Maybe you've just reconciled to the Lord. You're in the process. You're never too old. You're never too young. Each and every one of us are in transition. Each and every one of us are going from one level of glory to another level of glory. We can never think that we've been so successful in ministry, so successful in our walk with God, so successful with our families that we're not there. Each of us have a battle every day where God is dealing with us slowly and drawing us into His perfect will. We're never educated enough. We never have enough titles or credentials before our names. We're never gifted enough to think that we're not in the process. The process will only be completed when we find ourselves in the presence of Jesus. So I want to, as I close our sermon today, I want to remind you that you're in the process. Each and every one of us in different places, we're in our process. Remember that as we close our sermon, there's no excuse. We can. We've been positioned to win. Positioned to win. Let the Holy Spirit work in your life. The ministering Spirit of God. Let it work in your life. Let it do what it wants to do. Why? Because there is a potential in you. There is something in you that God has ordained. And He's preparing us to get there. He's preparing us to get there. There's something that God has positioned in our lives and He's just waiting for us to get. He's positioning us. And could you imagine how sad could it be that there probably will be many that make it to heaven that never got to enjoy all that God had for them. They missed out in the peace of their home, in the peace of their family, in the ministry call. They missed out in the opportunity to be blessings to others. They missed it because they did not submit to the very thing that God is doing in their lives. I want to encourage you today, don't give up on what God is doing in your life. Embrace it. It will give glory to God and it will be a blessing to you. It will bring glory to God and it will be a blessing to you. God sees the potential in you and He tells you that you can. Let Him make the investment in your life. Let's not become so religious that we forget the spiritual work that He's doing within us. And some would ask, but why is God doing this? Why is God working in me? Because a more mature you is a more powerful is a powerful instrument in the hands of God. A more redefined Christian is a powerful tool in the hands of God. A believer that reflects the image of Jesus is an instrument that will bring glory to the Father and exalt the name of Jesus. A more redefined, a more mature Christian could be a powerful tool to advance the kingdom of God. So it works for us, and it also works to position us to be exactly who God has called us to be. And the church says, amen. I want to invite you to stand as we close. God is not finished with us yet. God is still at work in you. He's still at work in me. This is the process. Be confident that God is doing a good work in you. Be confident that God is at work in your life. Be confident that He will always be with you. Maybe there's somebody here today who is far from God. And you feel like, man, I'm far from God and I need reconciliation. God is starting the process in you right now. Maybe there's someone here today who says, you know, I need the gospel. I need Jesus. I need change because who I am is not who I want to be. Well, that change then comes in your life as you receive Christ as your personal Savior. He seals you with His Holy Spirit. He fills you with His Holy Spirit. He baptizes you with His Holy Spirit. And He is at work in your life. He is the ministering Spirit of God. And because of that, you are victorious. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, I need a change in my life. And I'm stuck in the same routine, in the same brokenness. I'm stuck in the same shame, in the same sin. And I am ready for change. I want to tell you that today God says He's at work in you. And that begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you feel like, I'm far from God and I need to draw closer to God, to reconcile, to accept Him as my personal Savior, as we sing this next song, the altar is open. I want to encourage you to come. We want to pray with you. And to the church, maybe you're here today and you're saying, man, the Lord is speaking to me. I got to submit to His will in my life and let Him do a work in me. And you would like prayer to help you apply the teaching to your life. As we sing this next song, the altar is also open for you today. God bless you and God keep you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.